Well, we are continuing in our series called Pray, exploring different aspects of prayer. And it is my joy this morning to talk about prayer for healing. Now, humans are complex creatures, would you agree? We're pretty complex. When you think about it, we're like this mix of physical and spiritual, and there's a mental aspect and psychological, and there's all these different things that make up a person. And the interesting thing is, often if any one of these different dynamics that make a person are out of a whack, they're out of alignment, they often affect other areas as well, don't they? Like often, if we're experiencing some kind of illness, physical illness, it can affect other aspects of our life, our mental health, our spiritual well-being. And vice versa, if something is off with our mental health, it can sometimes affect our physical health and our spiritual well-being. We're so interconnected. Let me give you an example of what I mean. For myself, when I experience stress, when I'm stressed about something, I don't just feel it in the emotional sense of it. I don't just feel it in the psychological aspects of things maybe like anxiety or other things like that. I feel it in my guts, right? My stomach starts to get upset, and I feel it deep down in here. When I'm stressed, I carry my stress in my stomach. And so even though stress isn't necessarily something that's caused by some kind of physical illness, it affects me in a very physical way. It can affect my spiritual health. If I'm stressed, sometimes it causes me to press in to Jesus, but sometimes it can cause me to be distant. And so all these things, they're just so interconnected. And I am just so grateful that Jesus is interested in our well-being. And I mean that in a holistic way. Jesus, this morning, I believe that Jesus is interested in the holistic healing of human beings. One of the main concepts that we actually see throughout Scripture is this idea of shalom. And the English translation that we translate shalom to is this idea of peace. And it's really a little bit lacking, really, when we think about it. Like, it's not peace as in, like, we feel this sense of inner peace, or peace as in there's the absence of conflict, although those are certainly part of it. Peace is the holistic well-being of a human. It's holistic. It encompasses all of us. And it's about human thriving. And so it's really encouraging that when Jesus, after he dies and rises again, the first thing that he says to his disciples is, peace be with you, this shalom. Shalom be with you, because Jesus has always been interested in human beings being whole. That's why he was willing to actually go and pay the price and die, that we might receive forgiveness, so that, yes, we could be spiritually whole and have this more dynamic relationship with God, that there could be healing in that sense. But he was bringing a kingdom where we would have holistic healing. And one day he will make all things well, and there will be no more pain and no more suffering, and none of this will exist. We will get to live in this perfect shalom. But in the meantime, we get to experience just little breakings in of his kingdom, little instances where he brings healing, where he brings more wholeness, where he moves us towards becoming this new creation that he says that we are in him. And so Jesus has always and will continue to always be interested in the holistic healing of human beings. Let me show you a little bit about what I mean. If you look in Matthew chapter 5 and starting in verse 23, it's talking about Jesus, and it lays out all the different ways he was healing in this area. It says, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, here's where we're going to see. He says, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases. Now listen to this, because not all of this list is purely physical. Those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. There's this aspect that he wanted to bring freedom and wholeness, not just in the physical sense, but also the spiritual sense. We see instances where he heals people, where he also tells them, your sins have been forgiven. There's this element of wanting to bring wholeness into human beings. I want us to look at a passage in Mark chapter 9 this morning as we begin to think about what does healing look like? What does prayer for healing look like? And this passage shows the intertwining of spiritual and physical and mental well-being that Jesus wants to bring, the healing he wants to bring. And I would argue, although this is often talked about as in a healing of a boy, I actually think if you read the story well, there were two people who were healed that day, not just one. So, if you have your Bibles with you, or you want to look it up on your phone, or you want to follow along on the screen behind, Mark chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 14. So, to set the scene before we jump into the passage, I want us to understand what has happened just before this passage. And what has happened is Jesus has just been up on the mountaintop, and he's been transfigured, and three disciples have witnessed him being transfigured. They've witnessed him experiencing the glory of God, and there's these two prophets of old that have come, you know, Moses and Elijah, and they're with him, and Peter's like, hey, let's build tents and stay up here forever. This is a good thing. Jesus has just had this incredible mountaintop experience with his Father, with God, the Father. He's had this incredible mountaintop experience, and now, as he literally comes down from this mountaintop experience, the first thing that he encounters is his disciples squabbling with the teachers of the law. That's a little bit of a downer. That's the first thing you walk into, and that is where we're going to pick up the story. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit and has robbed him of speech. When it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. And so there's a few interesting things we need to recognize here. First of all, the teachers of the law and the disciples are arguing about why this boy can't be healed. And it was thought at that time that the disciples of a rabbi, of a teacher, should be able to do the things that the teacher themselves could do. That's why he says, I brought my son to you. Because he brought him to his disciples. It's like bringing him to Jesus himself is what is the thinking. I brought him to you, and they couldn't do anything. They couldn't heal him. His father's desperate. He's lived with his son just experiencing this torment for so long, and he's desperate. He says they couldn't do anything. But the interesting thing is that we find the disciples not interested in still seeking and pressing in and continuing in prayer like we talked about last week to see this boy healed. Instead, they're more interested in arguing and deciding whose fault it is and why this person wasn't healed. And I think it's easy to say, come on, disciples, what are you thinking? How did you not get this right? But if we're honest, we sometimes are more interested in arguing about why someone wasn't healed rather than persisting in seeking God for healing as well. Sometimes to the extent that we would even say that we don't even believe this kind of healing thing happens anymore. That was for that time, not now. That was for those apostles and disciples so that the church could get moving, but that stuff doesn't really happen anymore, does it? We sometimes, in an unhealthy way, we point the fingers and say, oh, that person wasn't healed because they didn't have enough faith or because of the sin in their life, or any number of reasons we can come up with to try to explain away why someone was healed, rather than continuing to press in and asking God that it be so. Sometimes people are healed and sometimes they're not. And I can't say that I have all the answers as to why. But wouldn't it make sense to continue to seek the good of that person rather than trying to save face both for ourselves and for God? I think sometimes we actually think that somehow we need to make excuses for God. Why he didn't do what we hoped he would do. Why he didn't do what we thought he should do. Rather than continuing to press in and to trust in this good God who loves to give good things and who wants to make us whole again. See, we live in a broken world, and we often experience the brokenness that exists in this world. And sometimes even when people are healed, and it's incredible, the long-term reality is that we're still in a broken world, and those people are going to go on to experience likely more pain and more suffering, and probably ultimately, outside of Jesus coming back, before death. Because we live in this broken world. But Jesus loves to give us this glimpse of his kingdom breaking forth so that we might see and experience and enjoy what one day will be in become full reality, where we will be completely whole. But there's this breaking in of this. We see it happening. And so why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we ask Jesus for that? This is Jesus' response. He says, you unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Now, many scholars have pointed out, this sounds an awful lot like epilepsy. That's what some scholars have said. They said, this is actually sounds a lot like epilepsy. And so there's this intertwining going on. There's this physical aspects that this boy is experiencing, but there's also seems to be this spiritual element going on. Now, hear me well. I am not saying that epilepsy or every physical thing that someone experiences has to do with demon possession. No, it's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that things are so interconnected and that we are spiritual beings. And sometimes, especially in our culture, we don't give credence to the fact that there is a spiritual reality to life. And that there are sometimes intertwined with physical and mental and psychological realities, a spiritual reality that exists. Jesus recognizes both. Jesus heals both. And we don't always understand sometimes, if we're honest, which is which. But we can always pray for the healing of somebody, the holistic healing of somebody, whatever that might look like. Jesus asked the boy's father then, How long has he been like this? Listen to the desperation in the father's voice. I have two sons. I can't imagine having a child that had to experience the kind of suffering that this boy has experienced since he was young. Look at, from childhood, since he was like a small boy, he's experienced this. So probably years. Imagine the desperation as a parent, loving your child with all your heart and having to see him suffer like this. Listen to the desperation in the father's voice. From childhood, he answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything, please, Jesus, I'm desperate. I'm all out of options. If you can do anything. I love Jesus' response. If you can, everything is possible for one who believes. Everything is possible for one who believes. Now, Jesus doesn't say everything will happen exactly as you want for him who believes. He says anything's possible, meaning nothing is impossible. Jesus can heal. And I love the father's response here because it's so honest and it's so authentic. And I think if we are really honest and authentic with ourselves, it's us. Listen, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. How often is this the case for us? We pray and we ask for something, and there is an element of belief, of trusting that God can do it. But there's also this kind of like doubt there that says, will God really do this? Can God really do this? Am I worthy enough to receive something like this? There's this element of really longing and wanting with all our hearts to believe that it could be so, but also this lingering doubt of not wanting to get our hopes up. I feel it every time someone comes to me and asks for prayer. I have like this deep belief that God can heal and that he can change their life, but I also have this like nagging thought in my mind about, well, what if he doesn't? Or who am I to pray for this person? Surely there's someone better, maybe somebody that has the gift of healing. Please, anyone want to step up besides me? But Jesus says, everything is possible for one who believes. See, Jesus can take our little bit of faith and work miracles with it. God's ability to heal is not limited by the size of our faith. He can still act in power where doubt lingers. One of my favorite verses in Scripture is actually related to this story, but the telling of this story in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. And in that passage, when the disciples are meeting with Jesus to ask him why they couldn't heal, which we're going to explore a little bit later in the passage here. Jesus says this. He says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, mustard seeds are tiny. Like if you've ever had Dijon mustard, you see all the little seeds in there. They're small. They're not huge. They're really, really tiny. But he says, if you have faith, even that small, you can say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will be so. And nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus is trying to encourage them. God is powerful. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that miracles happen and that people can be healed. It's not in the amount of how good we are, how holy we are, how much faith we have that brings somebody healing. If somebody experiences healing later today, it won't be because I'm someone special. It won't be because someone who prays for them is some super gifted person. It will be because the power of the Holy Spirit can use anyone who has the Holy Spirit within them to bring about this healing. See, God can still act in power even where doubt lingers. Even when doubt lingers. All things are possible for one who believes. The story continues and it says, when Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, you know, just like all the gawkers when there's an ambulance, we got to see what's going on here. When Jesus saw that the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit and said, you deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. Now, it's interesting that Jesus points out that it's a deaf and mute spirit. Here's why that's important. See, the teachers of the law, who were the ones that were just arguing with the disciples, they taught people that the only one who could cast out a deaf and mute spirit was the Messiah, was the Son of God. He was the only one, because they believed in order to cast out a spirit, you had to be able to speak to that spirit and tell that spirit to go. But if the spirit was deaf, the spirit couldn't hear you, and therefore the person wouldn't be able to be healed. And therefore, the only one that has the supernatural power to cast out a mute spirit, a deaf and mute spirit, was the Messiah. So Jesus is saying, hey, you teachers of the law that were just arguing with my disciples, that say, see, your rabbi is not powerful enough to do this. Jesus choosing to heal this boy is a direct statement that I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. You want proof? Here it is. That's what he's saying to them when he heals. He doesn't have to come right out and say it. They get the picture when they see this. And so we see that the spirit shrieked, convulsed, and violently came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. This boy has now received this kind of spiritual and physical healing and has been made well. But I want us to recognize something, and that's this. Do you not for a moment stop to think that that father was healed that day too? I mean, I think about it as a father, and I think about it, if that was my son, if that was Keenan, if that was Anson, when I saw Jesus heal in that way, and when I saw Jesus take my limited faith, though full of doubt it was, and heal that boy, do you not think that spiritually I would receive significant healing that day and would be made more whole, would be stronger in my sense that I serve and trust in a good God? The emotional well-being that would come to that father, the mental health that would improve, not having to see his son suffer in that way day after day after day. Do you not think that Jesus healed two people that day? I believe it with all my heart as a father, that that father also experienced significant healing in his spirit, in his soul that day. And he was made more whole, more well. He experienced more shalom in his life that day. Because when people suffer, it's not just them who suffer, it's those who love them that suffer as well. And so Jesus brought incredible healing to that family. I guarantee you, if this boy has a mother in the picture, I guarantee you there was healing for her as well. Though she wasn't even there, it doesn't look like. Jesus wants to heal us in holistic ways, just as he did those people in that day. Now, as we continue in this story, the disciples move off and they have some alone time with Jesus and they get to ask him the question that was lingering in their minds and in their hearts. It says, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciple asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? Like, what's wrong with us, Jesus? And Jesus replied, this kind can only come out by prayer. Now, this is an interesting statement. Because when you look at the story that we just read, it doesn't say anywhere that when Jesus cast out this spirit, when Jesus healed this boy, that he stopped to pray. You can look for yourself. You don't see it. So what is Jesus saying here then? What is he saying? Well, when you look at the life of Jesus, where was Jesus immediately before this? He was up being with his Father, being in his Father's presence, experiencing the joy of that, and just being with God. And when you look at the life of Jesus all throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see it says so many times Jesus withdrew to lonely places to pray. Jesus is saying, if you want to have this kind of power of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to do these kinds of things, this comes from having a life marked by prayer. If we want to see the Holy Spirit move in power in our city, if we want to see people healed, if we want to see people come to Jesus, if we want people to experience in greater measure this shalom, then we must become a people who are devoted to prayer, both as individuals and as a church corporately. We must commit ourselves to being a people of prayer, because it is this infilling of the Spirit that comes as we are prayerful people that enables us to then pray for others in a way that brings release, in a way that brings freedom, in a way that brings healing. We can't expect to be people who spend little to no time in prayer and then try to pray and ask God to do things if we want to see Jesus move in power. We need to be people of prayer, not just so that we can see God move in power, so that we can know Jesus, so we can experience in the day-to-day the goodness of him. So we can experience in the day-to-day as we pray and spend time with him, we can experience in our own lives through prayer the healing he wants to bring in us, the wholeness he wants to bring to us, that we then might pass on that goodness we've experienced through the power of the Holy Spirit in our own lives to others. I really believe that God wants to use this church in powerful ways in our city and in the northern part of our province to do incredible things for his kingdom. But it starts with us becoming, in greater measure, a people of prayer. It starts with a commitment to prayer in our lives. And so with that in mind, this morning, we want to enter into a time of prayer. James 5, verses 13 and 14 says this. It says, is any one of you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And so what we want to do now as the worship team comes, they're just going to play just a little bit of quiet instrumental music in the background. And some of the elders and staff and some other people who just want to make themselves available are going to come up to the front right now and just make themselves available. And if you this morning want to come and receive prayer for healing, we just invite you to come. We say come with a little bit of faith that you have, however great that might be, and see what God will do this morning. Not because any of the people up at the front have the power in and of themselves to heal anyone, but because we serve a good God who is powerful and wants to bring healing. And so we're just going to, in faith, if you want to come and receive prayer for healing, whether it be physical, mental, psychological, spiritual, whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart to come and receive prayer for, I encourage you to come and receive prayer. I'm going to pray for us, and then we welcome anyone who wants to come forward to receive prayer. One thing we would ask is that we keep this space here a place for prayer. So if you are not coming to receive prayer, or if you're not staying with people to pray over them, we would just ask that at any point, whenever you're ready, that you just quietly dismiss yourself. And we encourage you to spend as much time as you want visiting, but please do it in the foyer out of respect of having this place be a place of prayer. Let's pray, and then feel free as the Spirit leads you to come and receive prayer. Jesus, I thank you so much that you want to make us whole, God.